So this week's podcast isn't filmed inside of our sanctuary because we decided to have a Christmas service outdoors at a local stadium. And it was just fun because typically we're at different services. We don't see each other. And then we have our groups out in LA County. So this was a time to gather everyone back together and celebrate Christmas together.
Sermon on the Lord's Prayer. But as I thought about it, I thought maybe because it's just like all these Christmas songs we sing, where we've been singing them for years, but have we really thought through what it means? And as we're singing them, are we really meaning it? And the same thing with the Lord's Prayer, I realize how many times in my life I've prayed that and had no idea what I was saying. And I want you to think about that very first phrase, "Our Father." Think about the phrase, "Our Father." That's why I had my daughter come. Now you can stand up. I think about that phrase, "Our Father." Jesus could have picked another phrase. He was teaching us. Jesus came down on the earth and he taught us how to communicate to God. And when the people says, "How should we pray?" He goes, "Well, definitely don't get in front of everyone and make a big show out of it." He goes, "You know, you don't want to do it to be seen by other people." He goes, "You also don't want to just repeat things meaninglessly over and over and over," which many of us have done. He says, "When you pray, get alone. Be quiet. Just get alone where no one else can see you, because it's not about anyone else. It's about you and God, and I hope you're doing that." But then he gives us this model of prayer. He goes, "Pray like this." And the first thing he says is, "Our Father." And he uses that word, "Daddy." And even though I prayed that prayer so many times, I never really thought about that first phrase, "Our Father," meaning our dad. And I don't know if you struggle with this, but a lot of times when I pray, I almost pray to this, this impersonal being up in heaven. I don't think about this. I'm not thinking, okay, I'm talking to dad. And that God's desire for us was not that we just fall in love with this thing up in heaven. You know, sometimes I think my struggle, I had a couple of struggles. I think partly sometimes when you think about his power, you just think, well, if he's so powerful, does he have emotions? You know, we just tend to think of him like a machine. And who's the one that created our emotions? Who's the one that created this bond, this love we feel, where we go, man, this type of relationship, this doesn't evolve out of nothing. It comes from the amazing creative mind of a creator who understands love, who created love, who is love. And he says, in your relationship with me, don't just talk to me like I'm some thing up there, some sort of it. Call me Father. Call me Dad. I mean, those of you who are parents, isn't this what you cherish? Is your kid loving you as a person? And there's emotions involved. There's feelings involved. And I just want you to think through your prayer life lately. Does it look anything like this? When you pray, "Our Father," all of those times you said the Lord's Prayer, did you mean Dad? Or has there been this block of this almighty force up there that keeps you from thinking that he wants relationship with you? Because when you read the scriptures, from starting in the Old Testament, starting with Adam and Eve in that garden, it was about him dwelling with them. It was about relationship. It was about conversation. It was about intimacy. And then he tells the Israelites, look, here's the greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all of your mind. Every single thing about you, every feeling, every emotion, everything mentally, give me everything. Don't just obey me and do what I say just out of this rote religion. He goes, I want relationships, so love me with all your heart and soul and mind. And ultimately, you know, as much as I love, like, my kids listening to me and doing what I say and obeying me, if that's all there was to the relationship, then I really wouldn't be thrilled about being a dad. If it's just a bunch of rules and trying to get your kids to do what you ask them to do, it's more than that. You want this. You want relationship. You want love. And so I got to ask you right now, how's your prayer life? How are you doing in this? another reason why maybe for a long time I didn't have this idea of our Father is, like many of you, I didn't have a relationship with my earthly dad. It was just rules. It was just getting beat up every time I did something wrong. Never had a conversation. Never had this. Never had a hug, you know? And so it's weird. Then it's easy when you hear the word our Father to think, well, that's the way God must be in heaven. It's just this being that I better not do anything wrong. I'm never good enough for him. I've failed him so many times. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't want relationship. Rather than reading in scripture that he says, yes, he's your dad, but he's not your earthly dad. He's your dad in heaven. He's the perfect dad up there, the perfect father. Go ahead and sit down, baby. But I want you to think through this morning. I think there's a reason why God says, I want you to talk through the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you're not thinking about your Father in heaven and thinking about the being who's having that sun up there that's 93 million miles away, that's warming us, that's just perfect right now, isn't it? Except that it's in your eyes. It's great for me. But it's just that whole idea of, are you kidding? You created me. When this morning, I don't know if you guys saw the sun rising amongst the clouds. Did you see that? Yeah, she did. And everything was purple and all these colors. And I mean, some of you guys are like, what, sunrise? The sun doesn't start right there. Okay, if you get up early enough, it's not there. And just seeing the majestic, you know, the colors. And I don't know, I still get so excited when I see the sun come up and to think to myself, like, I know him. I know the God who created that, and I can come before him and call him dad. And yet at the same time, lest we get too casual, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Do you understand? Again, it's one of those words that we memorized as a kid, and many of you quoted the Lord's Prayer, but when you say that word, do you think hallowed? Do you understand the word hallowed means sacred, like just beyond us? Like, it's not just a common name. He's not just another person. He's not just like your earthly dad. Here's this being who is so sacred, and his name is sacred. And in that garden, it was about him dwelling with them. It was about relationship. It was about conversation. It was about intimacy. And then he tells the Israelites, look, here's the greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all of your mind. Every single thing about you, every feeling, every emotion, everything mentally, give me everything. Don't just obey me and do what I say just out of this rote religion. He goes, I want relationships, so love me with all your heart and soul and mind. And ultimately, you know, as much as I love, like, my kids listening to me and doing what I say and obeying me, if that's all there was to the relationship, then I really wouldn't be thrilled about being a dad. If it's just a bunch of rules and trying to get your kids to do what you ask them to do, it's more than that. You want this. You want relationship. You want love. And so I got to ask you right now, how's your prayer life? How are you doing in this? Another reason why maybe for a long time I didn't have this idea of our Father is, like many of you, I didn't have a relationship with my earthly dad. It was just rules. It was just getting beat up every time I did something wrong. Never had a conversation. Never had this. Never had a hug, you know? And so it's weird. Then it's easy when you hear the word our Father to think, well, that's the way God must be in heaven. It's just this being that I better not do anything wrong. I'm never good enough for him. I've failed him so many times. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't want relationship. Rather than reading in scripture that he says, yes, he's your dad, but he's not your earthly dad. He's your dad in heaven. He's the perfect dad up there, the perfect father. Go ahead and sit down, baby. But I want you to think through this morning. I think there's a reason why God says, I want you to talk through the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you're not thinking about your Father in heaven and thinking about the being who's having that sun up there that's 93 million miles away, that's warming us, that's just perfect right now, isn't it? Except that it's in your eyes. It's great for me. But it's just that whole idea of, are you kidding? You created me. When this morning, I don't know if you guys saw the sun rising amongst the clouds. Did you see that? Yeah, she did. And it just, everything was purple and all these colors. And I mean, some of you guys are like, what, sunrise? The sun doesn't start right there. Okay, if you get up early enough, it's not there. And just seeing the majestic, you know, the colors. And I don't know, I still get so excited when I see the sun come up and to think to myself, like, I know him. I know the God who created that, and I can come before him and call him Dad. And yet at the same time, lest we get too casual, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Do you understand? Again, it's one of those words that we memorized as a kid, and many of you quoted the Lord's Prayer, but when you say that word, do you think hallowed? Do you understand the word hallowed means sacred, like just beyond us? Like, it's not just a common name. He's not just another person. He's not just like your earthly dad. Here's this being who is so sacred, and his name is sacred, and the people would take that, and they wouldn't even say his name. Like, we kind of throw the word God out there. And even the Old Testament saints, many of them, they took out the vowels, you know, in God's name because they just felt like we shouldn't speak that out of our mouths. It's too holy of a name. But the word of God, while many of you guys would never use the Lord's name in vain, the idea of holding that name with honor is referring to the whole person, just treating him as sacred. Hallowed be thy name. You guys, I was kind of freaking out about this week because I was thinking about, and you understand, I really try to uphold God and understand he's different from me. He's sacred. He's set apart. He's holy. He's hallowed. But it seems like regularly God shows me that I don't revere him even enough. And here's a thought that came to my mind. What would it feel like? Try to picture this. What would it feel like? Okay, because the Bible talks about how here there's being in heaven who dwells in unapproachable light. This being that created the sun and the stars and everything else. And it's just this amazing being that the angels are covering themselves up, screaming how holy he is. But the thought that came to my mind this week was, what would it feel like to be face to face with the almighty being who's allowing you to breathe at that moment? Like, I don't know why it struck me, but I thought, okay, if I'm standing before a being and I'm only breathing because he's allowing me to, and I could only speak because he's allowing me to, at any moment he can cut it off. Like, what do you say? Like, I just had that picture in my mind. He's allowing me to praise him. He's giving me every breath. So how do you praise a being like that? How do you look upon someone who is giving you the ability to see right then? How do you listen to someone who's giving you the ability to hear right there? Just the total dependence of this being. He says, when you pray to me, understand there's a sacredness. There's a hallowedness about my name. And so how in the world do you put those two things together? Our Father, who art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, that somehow here's this amazing being that I just have to treat with such holiness, such hallowedness, and yet at the same time call him Dad, and understand that what he wants from me is a love relationship and an intimacy, and hopefully you guys, where the guy that wrote it says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You ever prayed that prayer? He says this. He goes, God, give me neither poverty nor riches. Just feed me with the food that is needful for me. He goes, God, don't make me rich. He goes, whatever you do, don't make me rich. How many of you have prayed that? Anyone? God, whatever you do, please don't let me get rich. And he goes, at the same time, he goes, don't get me so hungry to the point where I've got to go out and steal food, or I'm tempted to steal and profane your name. He goes, but I also, he goes, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? He goes, God, this is why I don't want to have everything set out, laid out for me. I just want what's needful for me. I just want my daily bread, because I know if I have too much, I'll get too full, I'll be too secure, and I'll just go, well, I don't really need God right now. He goes, but don't put me in the opposite extreme where I'm starving to death and I feel like I got to steal something just to survive. He goes, just give me what I need. See, that was the prayer back then. That was the prayer of wisdom coming from the Proverbs. And yet, how often do we pray that? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, or some of you guys said trespasses, and we had to wait for you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is the one that scared me. Of all the phrases, this is the one that scared me. Think about what you prayed. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We just asked God, God, forgive me in the same way that I have forgiven all those who have offended me. You asked for that. See, that scared me. I thought, how many times did I pray that prayer? I was taught to, and I memorized it, and I said it over and over again. And then how many times did I say that while I was angry at someone? While I still held bitterness or unforgiveness, and then I told God, okay, if I don't forgive anyone, then don't forgive me either. And I asked for that. And right after, you know, Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer, he says the very next verse, he says, because if you forgive those who sin against you, the Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive those who have sinned against you, he's not going to forgive you either. So it's very clear what he's saying, and it's very clear what we say to God. God, forgive me like I forgive others. And if I'm not forgiving others, then don't forgive me either. Did you really mean to pray that? I know I didn't. I just said it. So I hope you're getting a picture of what I'm trying to say here today is we're very good with our words. And many times in life, we've said the right things. We've even said the biblical things. But if we didn't mean it in our heart, isn't that exactly what Jesus came to get rid of? Were the people who would say the right things and honor God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. So we could say, give us this day our daily bread, when in our hearts we're saying, but if that's all you give me, I'm not going to be real thrilled. And we can say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, but actually I don't really mean that because I'm still pretty angry at this person and I think I have a right to be. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is that your heart today? Do you really want to be delivered from evil? A friend of mine, he was disciplining his son. He came home from work. He was telling me the story. He goes, man, I came home from work. My son had just made a bunch of bad decisions, you know, so my wife's angry and, you know, we don't know what to do with him. And he goes to me, I'm just like, man, what's going through your head? So he grabs his 10-year-old son and he draws something on a piece of paper. He goes, so I figure I would chart it out for him so he'd understand exactly what I was talking about. And I was going to put it on a piece of paper, but I figured he couldn't see it. So I drew it on this. Can you all see that? Okay, good. He says, this is you, okay? You're going down, you're living life. He goes, everything's good. We're everything's going well, and you head down this path. He goes, then you get here, and you got to make a decision. You're at a point where, okay, I can go this way. I can go do what's good, or I can do what's bad. He goes, why don't you just go down the good path? He goes, if you go down that path, I'm happy, mom's happy, everyone's happy, God's happy, you know, things are just good. But what you do is you decide to go down this path. Why? He sat there and goes, why would you do that? You know going down this path isn't going to work out. You're going down the bad path. And it bugs me, it bugs mom, we got to discipline you, you know, you get punished. You know, and he just goes, why would you do that? And his 10-year-old looks at the diagram and goes, that's partially right, Dad. And then he goes, but then he flips the piece of paper and he goes, no, Dad, it's more like this. He goes, you see, here's the path I'm on, and then when I have to make a decision, here's what's bad, and here's what's good. It's always harder to go uphill. He says, doing what's wrong is so much easier, and so I just tend to go that way. And then he goes, then once I get to here, he goes, and this is what he explains. He goes, and it's not really just good and bad. He goes, this is God, and that's the devil down there. And he goes, this path is so much easier. And then once I get to about here, he goes, then I think, wow, should I do the good thing? He goes, but if I do the right thing, I got to go all the way up here and then all the way up here. And he goes, I look at that and I just think that's impossible. And so I just keep going down that path. And I thought, wow, that's really good. You know, and the way he described, he goes, man, and it just seems like the further I get down that path, I look at this hill that I've got to climb, and then the rest of the hill that I got to climb, and I go, I can't do it. I can't make it. And I thought, wow, what a perfect picture of so many of our lives, right? Haven't you gone down that path because it was easier? It's always easier, right? And then once you go down a certain way, you just think, man, now to get back to where I ought to be? Do you understand how far down that road I am? I mean, I'm like down the. You're telling me you think I can climb all the way up that and then all the way back to the very top where God wants me to be? And for some of you, man, this may be illustrating your life perfectly. You're going, man, I've been going down this path my whole life. And are you telling me that it's even possible for me to go up? It's like almost climbing up a hill with skis on. You know, it's always easier to go downhill. But I guess what I'm seeing in Scripture is, I don't know, you remember when you were learning to ski and in the beginner bunny hill, they had that tow rope and all you did was hold on to that thing and still people would crash because they, you know, just aren't coordinated. And but how this thing pulled you up. When I think about what Christ came to do, as I was understanding it more and more, I was looking at this verse, and this is about the birth of Christ. Matthew 1, verse 21 says this, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I'll say it again. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Some of you have said the name Jesus your whole life. Do you even know what Jesus means? Did you know there's a meaning to the name Jesus? And it comes from the root word save. It's from the verb to save. He saves. That's why he says, you know what, Mary, you're going to name this baby Jesus because he's going to save. That's why his name is going to be Jesus. His name is going to be Savior. And it says, here's what he says, and here's where we miss it in the church sometimes. It says, he will save the people from their sins. It doesn't say he's going to save the people from the penalty of their sin. He says he's actually going to save people from the sin itself, which includes the penalty, and he talks about that in other places. But understand, Jesus didn't just come and die to forgive you. He came to save you. He came to save you from those things when you're so far down that path and you're going, man, how in the world am I going to get to where I want to be? Because I thought it was just going to be a few drinks, and now I'm stuck down here. I'm totally addicted. I thought I was just going to look at that one website. Now I'm just stuck here, and I just don't have it in me anymore. I thought I was just going to be angry for a little bit and then I get over it, but now I'm just deeper and deeper in that bitterness. goes, man, I have so much hatred toward my father that I can't look at God as dad. Man, I've been so unholy for so much of my life that it's hard for me to say, hallowed be thy name. Been so selfish and self-centered that I can't understand thy kingdom come and making this about him. It's about my kingdom. All my life I've been trying to build my kingdom, and I'm so far down this road. Daily bread, I'm so greedy and so much about me, I can't imagine being content with just the provisions. You know, we all, many of us memorize the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. And yet you spend your whole lives wanting because Jesus hasn't been enough for you and the shepherd hasn't been enough for you and the daily bread isn't enough for you. Forgive us our debts. You're so far in that bitterness that you're thinking, man, how in the world can I love my enemy now? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because I want you to know that Jesus says that he came to save you from that, and he offers a better life. And that's what we've come here to worship him for. We talked about this last week, how God gives you a whole different nature. And I know many of you can't even think that way because you're thinking, man, you don't understand. I've lived a certain way my whole life, and now you're saying to live for the God of the universe? First of all, understand that's why Jesus came, to forgive you of the whole past. Okay, everything's gone. You know how on your computer, on the internet, you know that button, there's a button on the top, there's a tab that says history. You guys know what button I'm talking about? The one says history and shows you all the places you've been. Do you know that there's a button on there that says delete all history? Unfortunately, some of you know it too well, right? Let's just face it. And you just want to erase and hide from everyone everywhere you've been. Because God is offering that to you right now. He's saying, you know what? I can hit the delete button right here. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. That's why Jesus came, to save you from that. The moment you decide that you want to follow him, that button is hit. And he says he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's just done. Delete, clear all history. And not only that, but he says, now I'll put my spirit in you. So no matter how far down that path is, I will give you the power to come all the way up to where I want you to be. Because that's why Jesus came. And that's why Mary called him Jesus and named him Jesus. Because he was going to be our Savior and save us from that path that was going to lead us nowhere. And I know some of you have lived your whole lives saying some of these words, but you've never felt that power. You've never felt the power of our Father who art in heaven, the one with the hallowed name, the one whose kingdom is going to come any moment now. But the truth is his kingdom can come into your life, and he can have reign over your life. And many of us are here because we've experienced that. In fact, by a show of applause, how many people were down that road, that wrong road, and then Jesus came into your life, gave you a new nature, and brought you to where you are today? Each of those claps represents a different story. That's what I love about that. I mean, if we could just sit here and have everyone share their story, I mean, we'd be here forever, but just the thought of every hand that clapped, like, you think that you're further down the road than all of those people clapping. You think you're the worst one, and you're thinking, no, I was more stuck. And now Jesus says, no, I came to give you a new nature, to put my spirit in you. You know, we one of the songs we sing, we say, born to save the sons of earth. Is that the phrase? Born to... Na, 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 na. Well, how's it go? Born to... It is save the sons of earth. born to give them second birth. That's an amazing whole life. Do you even know what Jesus means? Did you know there's a meaning to the name Jesus? And it comes from the root word save. It's from the verb to save. He saves. That's why he says, you know what, Mary, you're going to name this baby Jesus because he's going to save. That's why his name is going to be Jesus. His name is going to be Savior. And it says, here's what he says, and here's where we miss it in the church sometimes. It says he will save the people from their sins. It doesn't say he's going to save the people from the penalty of their sin. He says he's actually going to save people from the sin itself, which includes the penalty, and he talks about that in other places. But understand, Jesus didn't just come and die to forgive you. He came to save you. He came to save you from those things when you're so far down that path and you're going, man, how in the world am I going to get to where I want to be? Because I thought it was just going to be a few drinks, and now I'm stuck down here. I'm totally addicted. I thought I was just going to look at that one website. Now I'm just stuck here, and I just don't have it in me anymore. I thought I was just going to be angry for a little bit and then I get over it, but now I'm just deeper and deeper in that bitterness. He goes, man, I have so much hatred toward my father that I can't look at God as dad. Man, I've been so unholy for so much of my life that it's hard for me to say, hallowed be thy name. Been so selfish and self-centered that I can't understand thy kingdom come and making this about him. It's about my kingdom. All my life I've been trying to build my kingdom, and I'm so far down this road. Daily bread. I'm so greedy and so much about me. I can't imagine being content with just the provisions. You know, we all, many of us memorize the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want, and yet you spend your whole lives wanting because Jesus hasn't been enough for you, and the shepherd hasn't been enough for you, and the daily bread isn't enough for you. Forgive us our debts. You're so far in that bitterness that you're thinking, man, how in the world can I love my enemy now? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You guys, I want you to know that Jesus says that he came to save you from that, and he offers a better life. And that's what we've come here to worship him for. We talked about this last week, how God gives you a whole different nature. And I know many of you can't even think that way because you're thinking, man, you don't understand. I've lived a certain way my whole life, and now you're saying to live for the God of the universe? First of all, understand that's why Jesus came to forgive you of the whole past. Okay, everything's gone. You know how on your computer, on the internet, you know that button? There's a button on the top. There's a tab that says history. You guys know what a button I'm talking about? The one says history and shows you all the places you've been. Do you know that there's a button on there that says delete all history? Unfortunately, some of you know it too well, right? Let's just face it. And you just want to erase and hide from everyone everywhere you've been. You guys, God is offering that to you right now. He's saying, you know what? I can hit the delete button right here. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. That's why Jesus came, to save you from that. The moment you decide that you want to follow him, that button is hit. And he says he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's just done. Delete, clear all history. And not only that, but he says, now I'll put my spirit in you. So no matter how far down that path is, I will give you the power to come all the way up to where I want you to be. Because that's why Jesus came. And that's why Mary called him Jesus and named him Jesus. Because he was going to be our Savior and save us from that path that was going to lead us nowhere. And I know some of you have lived your whole lives saying some of these words, but you've never felt that power. You've never felt the power of our Father who art in heaven, the one with the hallowed name, the one whose kingdom is going to come any moment now. But the truth is his kingdom can come into your life, and he can have reign over your life. And many of us are here because we've experienced that. In fact, by a show of applause, how many people were down that road, that wrong road, and then Jesus came into your life, gave you a new nature, and brought you to where you are today? Each of those claps represents a different story. That's what I love about that. I mean, if we could just sit here and have everyone share their story, I mean, we'd be here forever, but just the thought of every hand that clapped, like, you think that you're further down the road than all of those people clapping. You think you're the worst one, and you're thinking, no, I was more stuck. And now Jesus says, no, I came to give you a new nature, to put my spirit in you. You know, we one of the songs we sing, we say, born to save the sons of earth. Is that the phrase? Born to... Well, how's it go? Born to... It is save the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. That's an amazing phrase. Born to save the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. And you've heard that phrase, born again, born again, born again. And in your mind, it means someone that comes forward, falls on the ground, starts flopping around, and nothing changes in his life. But that's not what Jesus came to do. When he says, I came to give you second birth, he talks about coming and giving you new nature and changing who you are. And that's what we're going to sing about right now. We're going to worship our God. But during this time, as we're singing, as the band comes forward, I just believe that there are some of you that just really need some prayer today. That some of you that are going, man, I'm just stuck. I'm stuck and I want to get out of this. And I'm going to ask for the elders and some of the community leaders, if you guys would just come forward out of the stands and maybe just stand at the bottom of the stands. And what do you call those, risers, bleachers? Bleachers. She's cheer captain and I'm on the bleachers. I have a teenage daughter, okay? I don't listen to it. but if you guys would just come and maybe just get over to the side. And so some of the leaders come down. Maybe during our time of worship, some of you guys are thinking, man, I want what you're talking about this Christmas. I've sung the songs, I've said the words my whole life, but I don't think of our Father in heaven. I don't think of him as a daddy. I don't get that. I'm not sure that when he comes, I'm going to be so excited to see him because I don't know if things are right. I haven't even prayed, deliver me from evil. I'm so far down here that I don't even know if I can make it up. And maybe just something, maybe just seeing the kids, maybe hearing the testimony of the people here. And man, some of us that were just way down in there. I mean, some of us are so ashamed and we're so glad that history button was deleted. That we could clear all that history and we don't have to stand up here and tell you our deepest, darkest secrets. That we laid that at the throne of God, at the foot of the cross, and it really was erased. And then God not only erased that, but he gave us a power to live a different way. And if you haven't experienced that, then I ask you just to come down the aisles. And we'll have some pastors and elders down there. And if you're down here to counsel, would you just raise your hand so people can see you? Because now we're getting all mixed up because people everywhere. And okay, maybe we can get some leaders down on that end too. Okay. And just as we work, maybe you leaders can keep your hands up as they come forward so they know who to go to. They don't just go to some stranger. But you guys, I remember a time when... the Lord came into my life. and just started me down this road where I had so much anger, so much lust, so much greed and selfishness, and it's almost like it's hard to believe that you can change. And these people that are down here praying for you, they have a similar story. And so I just encourage you to have someone pray over you and to believe that you can change. And if you want, we can baptize you on Christmas Eve during services or next Sunday. We weren't set up to do it today, but maybe that's good. Because a lot of times we look at baptism as the thing that saves you as far as actually getting in the water. But the Bible explains that true baptism has to do with Jesus actually coming into you and giving you a whole new nature. And that's what we want to pray over you about. But the rest of us, I've been really looking forward to this moment right now. Because we're going to sing to God, and we're just going to sing a familiar chorus to many of you, "How Great is Our God." And to me, it's completely different when we sing this outside. I don't know why, but I get so excited to be with a group of people outdoors looking at His beautiful creation out there, His beautiful creation in us, and just screaming out to Him, "How great is our God," and collectively just meaning that God in heaven, there's something real about looking up, seeing this guy, and thinking, man, God's looking down. Not that He can't look through our ceiling at Cornerstone, but there's just something about, there's no barrier there. That's what Christ came to, take away all the barrier, and now He's in heaven just looking down at this group of people. And hopefully we're not just singing words that we memorized, but from our hearts, we're saying to Abba Father, "How great You are, because You saved us. You took me off that path, and You towed me all the way up to where I am today." So would you guys stand with me? Everyone, no matter what age you are, think about God in heaven right now. And let's sing these words to Him.